All right, it's 95.9 The Fox. This Sunday, the Rockzilla Tour with Papa Roach, Falling in Reverse, Hollywood Undead. Most importantly, though, Bad Wolves coming to the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. That's right, dude, in Bridgeport. And from the Bad Wolves is DL, Daniel Laskowitz. DL, how you doing, man?
I'm great, brother. Thanks for having me.
You must be having a good day today, dude. Last night was, if I'm right, the first night of the Rockzilla Tour. You guys were in Rhode Island, I believe.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
We were at
the Bull Point Pavilion in Rhode Island. Super beautiful scenery. We played like facing the ocean, like a little harbor where, you know, there's boat docks, and it was our first show with our, we say it's our new guitar player, but he's always kind of been in the fold of Bad Wolves. So we welcomed Max Karen last night, first show. And, you know, it was nice to see all the guys. We did the Kill the Noise tour as Bad Wolves, Hollywood Undead, Papa Roach. So it was cool to reconnect with all those guys. And obviously the addition of Falling in Reverse is so sick too. So, yeah, I mean, everybody's just in super high spirits, beautiful weather. I mean, so it's like, you know, summer camp. So
exactly, dude. Exactly. Well, and like, how's the band feeling? You guys are on tour. Like you mentioned, you know, you had a new guitar player, new-ish. He was on the first couple albums, took a hiatus, new since April though. Is everybody meshing? How's the band sound?
You know, without putting anybody out, without making anybody feel weird, whatever.
Oh, you're going to call someone out right now.
No, hell no. But I don't think the band has ever sounded better. It's just super metallic, so tight. Max is just such a tight guitar player. And he really is, you know, from day one of this band, he is the sound of Bad Wolves. So, yeah, sick. We're stoked.
Awesome, man. And I mean, speaking of being a new member, you have been in the band for a little over a year now. May of 2021, you joined the band. Tell me about what that process is like. Like, dude, I played in bands for 20 years, but I, you know, this is garage. It's different joining a garage band than an established act that's got a big following already, that has big songs that they've put out, that is touring nationally. You were used to that with your former band, but tell me about the struggles of joining this band. What's that process been like?
You know, it's just under the circumstances that this band has gone through, it's, there's obviously a lot of expectations, and being a new guy myself in the past year, it's very important for me to try and meet those expectations. And whether I do or not, you know, that's not for me to decide, but also trying to walk that line and reestablishing this new era of the band and doing our own thing. You know, it's still Bad Wolves, and we want to maintain the integrity of what this band has built up until now, but we also want to kind of take some avenues and do some new stuff now. So it's a balancing act.
I'll bet, man. Well, I mean, you know, anytime you introduce a new, any aspect really into a band, there's going to be people who love it. There's going to be people who don't. How do you find balance with that? Do you read the comment section where like people go negative, or do you just try to stay completely away from that?
No, I stay away from the comments. It's just like, you know, as much as you want to see good comments and stuff, I mean, you're just going to peruse through the comment section and you're going to get into the toxic swamp of stuff. And it's just like very counterproductive, and you're never going to please everybody. So, yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you, even trying to get on the Zoom call, it's like, I'm an old guy that kind of hates the internet. So the less I have to be on it, the better.
I get that, man. I mean, listen, it's the internet. It's going to get toxic no matter where you go or what you do.
That's it.
So, I mean, I mentioned your previous band, which was, you know, from Massachusetts, Acacia Strain. Mm-hmm. Now, you've got a great voice, but you were the guitar player in that band.
Player up until now.
Like, that's got to be a seismic shift, especially like, you know, you were playing on a professional level on one instrument. Now you're doing it on, I mean, obviously you had been a singer before this. You didn't learn how to sing last year, but what are the differences? I mean, there have to be differences on stage and writing and, you know, all across all aspects of what you do.
You know, it's really hard for me to kind of pinpoint what the differences are, because at this point in the band, it's like, me coming in, I wasn't only brought on board in this band to only be the singer. You know, they acknowledged my writing ability in the tryout process. You know, they acknowledged my just my studio experience mixing and producing and just arranging songs and stuff. So to them, you know, I was kind of like a whole package kind of deal. And
right.
I think that's especially nowadays, that's pretty important. You know, you're expected to put out material faster. You're expected to put out better material every time. So all of those factors factored in. I think that was a big part of it. So really I'm still playing guitar. I'm still doing everything, but I'm just leaning a lot more into the singing side of things and worrying a lot more about the melodies like I said, we're still trying to really find exactly what this new era of the band we want to sound like, because while maintaining the core of the sound of the band, we want to try some new stuff, and that's super exciting and fun for all of us, because we're dipping our toes in a lot of different pools. It's cool.
Yeah, man. So you're still getting to write on the guitar a little bit. It's not just lyric writing. It's not just melody writing. You know, you're actually able to contribute, you know, with your instrument as well.
Correct. Yeah. It's actually funny. We were laughing about it because the tour started yesterday, and the day before yesterday, all the gear from LA was freighted to my residence in Massachusetts. And all the guys came to my house, the bus, we loaded the bus up in front of my house and everything. And it's like the first five, I haven't seen the guys in a couple months because they're all on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. And I just, you know, I've been hanging out with my family before we got a lot of touring coming up the rest of the year. So we've kind of been like, although we've been working, sending songs and ideas and stuff through the internet, we've kind of been doing our own thing in our own little corners. And like the first 5 minutes that we're all together after 2 months, we go in my studio and we started writing. We were just laughing about it. It's like, we go on tour tomorrow and we can't get away from it. We're all just like, we all have those busy creative minds. So we got to get it out. We've got to get it out.
Well, so how is the new album coming? I was reading about that new album from Bad Wolves, which is in the works right now. Any word on a release date? Any word on, like, you know, a theme to the album? Tell me what you got. Spill the tea, as the kids say.
Yeah. Honestly, there's not much cool shit to talk about in terms of like, concepts or anything, but we do have like a ridiculous amount of material already. We have like 30 songs or something already stacked up, and they're all kind of bangers. So I think it's exciting for us because like we just know that we have such a wealth of material moving forward, because everybody in this band in their own right is kind of like a producer, super creative. Like, it's kind of insane how many writers we have in this band, but also it's intimidating because like all the songs are great, and it's really hard to pick your favorite children out of those songs. So
right, something has to make the cut. Exactly,
that's it.
Mm-hmm. How hard do you go to bat for your own material? Is it like, I mean, is there a competitive nature to it? Obviously, you want the best stuff to come out, but it's your baby,
right? And I think that's, at the end of the day, we all have that mindset. Everybody wants their voice to be heard, obviously, but at the end of the day, we all recognize that best material is the best material. And there's no selfishness, like, check your ego at the door, get it, you know what I mean? It's that's the best way to work, and most efficient. So especially when you have this many writers.
Right. So you guys this Sunday are, you know, of course, going to be at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. You're also going to be doing an acoustic show, though, for the station. You guys are going to be at Little Pub Fairfield. That, I love shows like this because I love watching a band, especially one that is, that's so loud and so heavy, stripped down. You know, we, but guys like me and you grew up on the MTV Unplugged series and stuff mm-hmm. like that. How do the arrangements for your songs differ from electric to acoustic? Are there large differences? Are there songs that you will and won't play in one of those formats, or is it not that different?
So I would say yes and no to that. It's
right.
It's not too different, but in terms of production and, like you said, just it being stripped down, it's very different because we're at the end of the day, especially our records and even live, you know, we have a lot of production. There's a lot of like you know, arterial backing stuff. There's a lot of leads, a lot of just overdubs and everything that are going on in the song. So with that being said, you know, the progressions, when it's stripped down, the chord progressions and everything really kind of take front and center, and that's what's cool about it. It's like hearing the songs don't sound that much different stripped down, unless you're, you know, unless you're a of the production minded, you know, kind. And then you might pay attention a little more to what's missing or what's changed. But yeah, it's really fun, and it's a challenge to take a song like Killing Me Slowly that has a lot of ebbs and flows and background tracks and stuff, and make it sound full and beautiful still and engaging when not having all that production and sound effects and stuff. So it's cool. It's fun. It's a challenge.
I bet, man. Well, we're excited to see it, dude. You know, 12 p.m. You got to get in to win. So if you didn't win tickets this year, this week, I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, we're going to see you guys at Little Pub Fairfield. And then, of course, Rockzilla Tour that night, dude. We just absolutely can't wait. DL, it's been great talking with you, brother. Best of luck on the tour. And I can't wait to see you this Sunday.
Thank you so much, man. We'll see you soon.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Did you know that over 80% of companies in America, each generating more than $100 million in revenue, don't show up on public stock exchanges? They're private and are largely not an option for 401k investors. But now there's a chance for everyday American savers to opt in for access through the 401k plan if they choose to. Regardless of how you're building for the future, you deserve the same opportunities because you've earned the right to more. Learn more by visiting retiresafer.org. Paid for by the Council for a Safe and Secure Retirement.